Hare Krishna, I'm here with Archana Siddhi. She's on the phone, and we're going to be talking about self-forgiveness. So my first question is, could you give a general description of what self-forgiveness is and the value of it?
Well, self-forgiveness, like having to forgive anybody, it's a process where we are able to forgive ourselves for some failing in our lives, for doing either not doing something we should have done or for doing something we shouldn't have done. And I actually have thought about the different kinds of grievances that we have with ourselves, like failing at, say, an important life task, such as, you know, maybe graduating from college or getting married or having children, or for not taking an action when you thought it was really necessary. Like, recently I was talking to a devotee who has been very upset at herself for not recognizing the warning signs of that her child was being molested while he was in the Gurukul. And so this was a very, very painful for her, and she didn't feel she could forgive herself for this, for hurting someone else. Say if you were to do something against your principles, like cheating on a spouse or, you know, behaving badly as a parent or something, or upset with yourself, acts such as alcohol abuse or an unwillingness to work hard at something. I think for devotees, there's a whole category of issues of not living up to our ideals, not being able to follow principles and vows that we took at initiation. So we made a promise, and we weren't able to, not always able to uphold those vows. So there's a lot of self just critical. Now we become very critical with ourselves, and oftentimes we're not able to forgive ourselves enough to be able to be functional in our lives, so that we can do better. So those are just some thoughts. You wanna?
Is there any connection between forgiving others and the ability to forgive oneself, or vice versa, the reluctance or inability to forgive others and the reluctance to or inability to forgive oneself, or are they two distinct issues that we have to deal with?
No, I think that for many of the things that we hold against ourselves, we can use the same process that we've just used, the forgiveness process that we've used in the webinar. And I've done this with counseling devotees for many years, basically the same steps. And it's just as effective. So you have to kind of also look at, you know, why you might be holding on to the resentment. What, sometimes there's a payoff to not forgiving yourself. And be able to look at it in the same way, and how would Krishna see it, and what is it costing you not to forgive yourself? How is it affecting your service? How is it affecting your relationships? How is it affecting you, your ability to be successful in your life and in your material life? So it's really a very similar process, except you're the person, you know, you're and just like you had the person that you chose to do your forgiveness with, you would be choosing yourself and going through the same steps.
Well, in a sense, of course I could be incorrect, but in a sense it seems it's easier to forgive someone else because there's less issues involved. For example, we're supposed to be forgiving. So there's no guilt around that. You know, there may be guilt around not forgiving someone else, no matter what they've done. But with ourself, there may be guilt in terms of, well, I've done something which is so unforgiving that it wouldn't be right to forgive myself, that it would almost be sinful if I forgive myself, or I would be making light of what I did if I forgive myself. So how do we deal, understand that, and how do we deal with that? Like you were saying, I may feel unforgiving of myself because I didn't follow some of the principles, and sometimes it may just be that, well, I don't feel that Krishna would forgive me for that, or I don't feel my spiritual master would forgive me for that, and therefore I don't feel it's correct if I forgive myself. So how would you deal with that?
Yes, and I think self-forgiveness does become more difficult when we feel that the guru or Krishna doesn't forgive us for doing what, you know, what we've done. So it's really important to understand that and know that the guru and Krishna understand our struggles, and that that Krishna is a very merciful and kind, loving God. And I always think about that purport that Prabhupada has in the Bhagavad Gita 3:31, where he says that even if you can't immediately follow the principles, as long as you don't resent the principles, then you can still make spiritual progress. So here we have the idea of resentment, that if our inability to follow activates a core hurt in us, such as an inadequacy, and we don't want to face that core hurt, then just like we discussed in the webinar, that core hurt plus blame will equal a resentment. So we can become resentful towards Krishna. We can become resentful to the guru for asking us to do something that we don't feel we can do. But if we're able to face our feelings of inadequacy, acknowledge them, and accept where I'm at in the process, and really pray for help, that's when we can go forward. Otherwise, we can become very dysfunctional. You know, our guilt is, you know, it's an internal mechanism that tells us that our behaviors aren't in alignment with our principles or our ideals. So this creates something that's called cognitive dissonance, where there's like this tension between what I want to do and what I'm actually doing. So there's different ways to resolve that tension, and one is we would change our behavior. You know, if we're not following, then we would follow, and that would resolve the issue. Or we change the principle. So I think I've shared with you about a couple that many years ago, they left Krishna consciousness and they became Christians. And when we had talked to them, they said, I'd rather be a good Christian rather than be a bad devotee. So here is an example of where that cognitive dissonance was so great that they, you know, weren't able to resolve it in any other way than to leave and find a philosophy that fit their behavior.
Well, how do you deal with if someone is going that route, but then they become so compromised in their principles or their life, so they won't have the cognitive dissonance? That
right. Well, I think it's really important, you know, that that's a third option, which we want to be able to accept where we're at. That's a healthy thing, to acknowledge this is where I'm at and this is what I can do, and have a plan in place of how you can move forward. And I think that's the essence of that purport which Prabhupada gives: as long as we don't resent the principle and we continue to try to make progress, that, you know, we can still make spiritual advancement. So
so it seems like you're saying a key for self-forgiveness is to be on the right path, to be doing something, although may not be as much as we would like to do or we're supposed to do, but at least that we're doing something so that our intentions are to achieve a higher state, and therefore we can feel good about ourselves and we can forgive ourselves because we're acknowledging where we're at, realistically accepting that.
Exactly.
And then if we don't, we won't be able to make progress because we'll be so hard on ourselves that we'll...
Exactly. You would become dysfunctional.
You know, when we were originally discussing this through email, one of the thoughts I had was there's two aspects to spiritual teaching. One is the aspect of the teaching itself, and one is the aspect of how the person, the spiritual master, or if we could actually sit down with Krishna, would apply it. And often they're quite different because we're subjectively understanding it, the instructions that are given to us. And in the real world, at least we saw with Prabhupada, he always wanted us to be engaged in Krishna consciousness on whatever level we were at, no matter how low we had fallen, because that was the panacea, that was the solution for the disease. So he would never make us feel so bad about ourselves that we couldn't do devotional service, but on the contrary, he was careful that other devotees wouldn't say things to make a devotee who had fallen feel bad about himself, because then they would give up devotional service.
Exactly, and there's, you know, many instances that, you know, are related in the memories, videos, and DVDs, and the and in the letters that completely support what you just said.
I also think for the people who are pragmatic, that self-forgiveness is very pragmatic.
Mm.
You know, because a pragmatic person might think, no, I need something more pragmatic. But if you actually look at it from a pragmatic point of view, beating yourself up is counterproductive to moving forward.
And
I see. I think you hit it on the head. Where we get caught up in the self-forgiveness process is we might think, well, it's just going to be a scapegoat, and I'll use it as an excuse to stay where I'm at or even slide down further. Whereas there is a form of healthy guilt and healthy remorse, which self-forgiveness can be part of that process.
Exactly.
I'm going to forgive myself, but if I'm going to forgive myself, that means that I'm going to also make the effort to take another step forward.
Yeah, and if you know what, if you're not sincere, then you're not going to feel bad about what you're doing, and you're not going to feel a need to forgive yourself. But if a person's sincere, then they're going to always want to be striving to do better. And so you may have situations where you have insincere people taking to this path, and they'll, you know, unless they get some mercy, they're going to remain insincere. But I think anyone that's, you know, taking this course would certainly be having a level of sincerity that I wouldn't be too concerned about them falling into that category of somebody that's going to just be slack and not try to go forward.
So what you're saying is that it seems like a resistance can be a sign of sincerity. I'm resisting to forgive myself because I feel that I failed the goals that have been set for me or I set for myself. So you're already actually in that mood that you want to
exactly. Achieve
it, and that's what's causing you the reluctance. And then if we go back to the pragmatic, I say, no, but from the pragmatic point, it's the best thing for your own enthusiasm and determination to forgive yourself.
Exactly.
Because it clears up as long as
you're
moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about guilt, healthy guilt and unhealthy guilt? And also about remorse and the difference of the three, if there is?
Okay, so healthy guilt, I mean, like I said, it's an internal mechanism that Krishna has given us to help us to recognize when we're not following our principles, when our behaviors and our principles, there's a large gap, or there's a gap between them. So it's a it's a way to help us recognize that you're off track here. And, you know, if we acknowledge that, okay, that's what this guilt is telling me, let me make, again, let me look at this and have a plan to go forward, to do something to improve, then that's very healthy, and that's the way Krishna's designed it. Unhealthy guilt, you know, is when we allow those feelings to overtake us and we feel we're just so bad, and we actually become depressed and hopeless, and we lose our enthusiasm to even try to do better. So that's when guilt becomes very dysfunctional. If that's happening, then it's really important to get some kind of mental health assistance to get out of that, because that can really really interfere with your even your material goals, but to speak of your spiritual goals.
So it sounds like what you're saying is two people can be in the exact same situation, doing the exact same things, two devotees, mm-hmm. and one may feel guilty, but it will have a positive effect,
right.
And one may feel guilty and it will have a negative effect, and their activities are virtually identical in terms of what they're following and what they're not following, but
exactly.
Their attitudes are going to determine how they'll progress in the future. Even though their actions are the same.
Exactly.
So is healthy guilt also synonymous with remorse?
Yeah. Remorse means to feel bad about something, and that's what guilt is. So they're pretty synonymous, I would say.
And then remorse. I was also thinking remorse entails doing something, as you say. The sign is there, something is off, and then... Yeah, it seems that's a real critical key in everything you're saying, is doing something.
Mm-hmm. Doing something, and it can be a baby step.
Right.
But as long as you're doing something to go forward, then you're not going to go backwards.
I was just listening to the concept of if you want to be successful and you do something every day that advances you, then by the law of karma or cause and effect, it's impossible not to be successful.
Right.
Just, it doesn't have to be a great success each day, but something that's moved you forward.
Right. Exactly.
So it sounds like what you're saying is, once we acknowledge where we're at and say, okay, I'm not up here like I thought I was or I wanted to be, but I'm actually down here. And now if I deal with where I'm at and take little steps forward daily, then I'm progressing and everything's good, and it's all going to work out, and I can be positive about that.
Exactly. It's a kind of a paraphrase of something the Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about true beauty is recognizing where you're at and acting accordingly. So...
I guess that recognizing where you're at can often be the most difficult part, especially when you recognize it's not where you want to be or where you thought you were.
You're not a adhikari yet. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I think that's helpful. Well, thank you.
Well, yes, thank you for inviting me here to discuss this very important topic. It's I hope it'll be useful to the devotees that listen to it.
I'm sure it will.
Okay.
All right. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.